To love one's neighbor as oneself is a divine idea. But this idea can never be seen, felt, nor understood through the physical senses, excite the organ of veneration or religious faith, and the individual manifests profound adoration. Excite the opposite development, and he blasphemes. These effects, however, do not proceed from Christianity, nor are they spiritual phenomena, for both arise from mortal belief. Eloquence re-echoes the strains of truth and love. It is due to inspiration rather than to erudition. It shows the possibilities derived from divine mind, though it is said to be a gift whose endowment is obtained from books or received from the impulsion of departed spirits. When eloquence proceeds from the belief that a departed spirit is speaking, who can tell what the unaided medium is incapable of knowing or uttering? This phenomenon only shows that the beliefs of mortal mind are loosed. Forgetting her ignorance in the belief that another mind is speaking through her, the devotee may become unwontedly eloquent. Having more faith in others than in herself, and believing that somebody else possesses her tongue and mind, she talks freely. Destroy her belief in outside aid, and her eloquence disappears. The former limits of her belief return. She says, "I am incapable of words that glow, for I am uneducated." This familiar instance reaffirms the scriptural word concerning a man, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." If one believes that he cannot be an orator without study or a superinduced condition, the body responds to this belief, and the tongue grows mute, which before was eloquent. Mind is not necessarily dependent upon educational processes. It possesses of itself all beauty and poetry and the power of expressing them. Spirit, God, is heard when the senses are silent. We are all capable of more than we do. The influence or action of soul confers a freedom, which explains the phenomena of improvisation and the fervor of untutored lips. Matter is neither intelligent nor creative. The tree is not the author of itself. Sound is not the originator of music. And man is not the father of man. Cain very naturally concluded that if life was in the body and man gave it, man had the right to take it away. This incident shows that the belief of life in matter was a murderer from the beginning. If seed is necessary to produce wheat and wheat to produce flour, or if one animal can originate another, how then can we account for their primal origin? How were the loaves and fishes multiplied on the shores of Galilee, and that too without meal or monad from which loaf or fish could come? The earth's orbit and the imaginary line called the equator are not substance. The earth's motion and position are sustained by mind alone. Divest yourself of the thought that there can be substance in matter, and the movements and transitions now possible for mortal mind will be found to be equally possible for the body. Then being will be recognized as spiritual, and death will be obsolete, though now some insist that death is the necessary prelude to immortality. In dreams, we fly to Europe and meet a far-off friend. The looker-on sees the body in bed, But the supposed inhabitant of that body carries it through the air and over the ocean. This shows the possibilities of thought. Opium and hashish eaters mentally travel far and work wonders, yet their bodies stay in one place. This shows what mortal mentality and knowledge are. The admission to oneself that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. This conviction shuts the door on death and opens it wide towards immortality. The understanding and recognition of spirit must finally come, and we may as well improve our time in solving the mysteries of being through an apprehension of divine principle. At present we know not what man is, but we certainly shall know this when man reflects God.